love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and now we come to faithfulness. I hope you're beginning to see a pattern and realizing why the fruit of the Spirit that Galatians describes is a singular fruit. Each of these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit relies heavily on the others. If we aren't being faithful in the ways we have love, have patience, are kind and good, then we aren't really being those things at all, are we? Faithfulness, to me, seems like one of those things that's easy to understand, but hard to achieve. In the letter to the Hebrews, we find much written about faith, including this much-loved definition of faith from chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And in our passage today, which is in the chapter just previous to that, we find the answers to three questions that I believe will help us live more faithfully ourselves. The first is, who do we have faith in? In whom do we place our faith? As we gather for worship, this seems like a pretty easy question, doesn't it? We have faith in God, in Jesus. And yet, so often, we say those words and then rely on ourselves. After all, our American sense of independence is ingrained in us from an early age, right? Do it. We can do it. We should be independent. Do it our own selves. But what God calls us to is different. God calls us to dependence and trust. Our scripture tells us that it is Jesus who made the way for us to approach God directly. At the moment of Jesus' death on the cross, the curtain in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies from everything else was ripped in two. No longer was it necessary for there to be a separation between the people and the presence of God. No longer was a priest necessary to deliver sacrifices of atonement. Because now, Jesus is our priest, the one who comes before God on our behalf. And it is this God who we know in Jesus through the guidance of the Holy Spirit in whom we place our trust. Verse 22 of our passage reminds us that we can approach God with a true heart and full assurance of faith because Jesus has given us clean hearts. Which leads us to the second question. Why can we have faith? Well, that answer is actually a simple one, although sometimes hard for us to grasp. We can have faith because God keeps God's promises. We can be faithful because God is faithful. Throughout Scripture, we see the people of God reciting God's past acts of goodness. And this isn't simply an act of worship and praise, although it is that. God commands us to repeat our faith stories from generation to generation so that our faith can be passed on, so that we ourselves can be reminded of God's faithfulness, which will lead us, in turn, to be faithful, to hold fast to our hope. When we respond to God's steadfast love with our own fidelity, our lives will be witnesses to others. So what does that look like? What does faithfulness look like? Our third question. And our passage describes that, at least in part. If we are allowing the Spirit to grow faithfulness in us, Hebrews tells us that it will be seen in how we live. We will become provoking. Now, that doesn't really sound like a positive trait, I know. But we have to read the rest of that sentence. If we are being faithful to God, we will consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Our faithfulness isn't just about an individual relationship with God. Instead, it's about how we live out our hope together as a family of faith, whether we are gathered together physically or in other ways, encouraging each other, running the race of life alongside each other, pushing each other to bear good fruit, being deeply connected with each other, whether we're able to be in the same building for worship or not, for the sake of love for each other in our community. In the end, faithfulness comes down to this. Every day we journey on this earth is a day in which we make choices, left or right, up or down, in or out, yes or no. Some choices are simple. Others are very complex, but one choice informs all the others. Who will be our God? Who will we trust to see us through this journey? Who has been with us from the beginning, bringing us into existence? Who has loved us and blessed us and sent us on our way? Who has pointed toward the path and posted the signs we need to find our way? Who has been at our side when the road is smooth and gently curving? Who has kept with us through hairpin turns and construction zones and potholes and detours? Who will celebrate with us when we complete our course and seek the comfort of eternity? Only one. God, our Creator, who we know through the love of Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So the question is, will you choose this day to stay faithful to the one who is faithful to us? Will you choose this day to place your whole trust in the one who is trustworthy? Will you choose this day to commit your talents and your resources to the one who gave them to you? Will you choose this day to stay faithful? Will you choose this day to love the one who loved us first? Will you choose to allow the Spirit to grow the fruit of faithfulness in you? May we all be found faithfully following Christ, the source of our hope. Each day this summer, I have asked you to pray a prayer written by John Stott, asking for the Holy Spirit to grow good fruit in us. And we've been praying that together at the end of the sermon each day. It's printed in your bulletin under the daily prayer. And I invite you to pray that with me now. Heavenly Father, we pray this day that we may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, we pray this day we may take up our cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray this day you will fill us with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen. It is our hope in Christ that brings us to the table today. This is the table where we find faith. Those who have faith the size of a mustard seed. Those who know deep faith. Those who think they have no faith at all. All are welcome here at Christ's table because Christ has enough faith for all of us to share. This is a table that, while it looks different, is not unlike the table that Christ gathered his disciples around so many years ago. It was a simple table with food and drink shared between friends. It was a table where truth was spoken, where forgiveness was given even before it was necessary, where grace was embodied. And as we gather around this table, the faith of all those who have gone before us join us here. It's enough to hold up those of us who don't think we have enough faith and to humble those of us who think we have it all figured out. Christ is here. God's Spirit is with us. And here we lift our hearts to God and give thanks to God. You see, God created the world in faith that we might care for it. God called us to be God's people, to have faith in ourselves and in others. And yet, we don't do that so well a lot of days because we are not God. And that is the crazy thing about God, who keeps loving us and faithfully calling us even when we fail to be faithful. Regardless of whether or not we have faith, God came as a person, a child, to be with us. He was born in a body screaming for justice, for a different way for his people, for a different path. And that same Jesus calls us back to faith again and again. Does that very clearly at this table. Because Jesus, having faith in those he gathered around him, brought his friends together around a table on the night before he gave himself up to the authorities for his death. And so that they might remember and know how God's bread, the word of God, the bread of life, his very self, give strength. He took common bread and he made it holy as he takes common people and makes us holy. And to remember, he asks us to repeat this act again and again as he did by saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance." Cannot live by bread alone. And so Jesus took the cup as he did the bread and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among his followers and with us, saying, "This is faith made new, a new covenant. Faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." We share the bread and the cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promise of new life, for the faith to hope. New. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Faithful God, you have fed us at this table where we are in communion with you and with that great cloud of witnesses who surround us and encourage us along the way. Keep us faithful to your call. Abide with us always, that we might serve you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.